Welcome to a world where private jets feature koi ponds, wedding gifts include million-dollar artworks, and family dynamics are as explosive as they are extravagant. China-rich girlfriend plunges us into the rarefied atmosphere of Asia's hyper-wealthy elite, where money isn't just displayed, it's weaponized. The story picks up with Rachel Chu and Nick Young preparing for their California wedding when Eleanor Young, Nick's formerly disapproving mother, makes a dramatic helicopter entrance. Instead of trying to stop the ceremony, she delivers life-changing news. She has found Rachel's biological father, Bao Gao Liang, a powerful Chinese politician who never knew Rachel existed. This revelation creates ripple effects through multiple families. Rachel discovers she has a half-brother, Carlton Bao, with whom she shares an uncanny resemblance and immediate connection. Meanwhile, Bao's wife, Xiao Yan, refuses to accept Rachel, viewing her as a threat to her husband's political career. "That bastard girl will never be part of this family," she declares, establishing a dangerous dynamic that will escalate throughout the story. Why does Eleanor suddenly support this relationship? The answer is simple. These people aren't just everyday rich with a few hundred million, they are China rich, billionaires. Nothing illustrates status obsession better than Kitty Pong, a former soap opera actress desperate to transform from social pariah to respected society matron. After marrying into wealth, Kitty hires social consultant Corinna Ko Tung, who bluntly assesses, "Your current penthouse looks like the Miami Beach bachelor pad of a Bolivian drug cartel kingpin." The prescription? A complete lifestyle overhaul, from wardrobe to reading habits, starting with social novels and progressing to light Proust. This social engineering reveals the arbitrary yet rigid rules governing elite Asian circles. Kitty must attend the right church, donate strategically, and even trade perfume for an essential oil blend, making her smell like you have been baking apple tarts all morning. Most importantly, she must learn that true old money values invisibility over ostentation. This anxiety extends to Eddie Chang's obsessive hosting micromanagement and Colette Bing's 30-acre weekend retreat with pavilions in an emperor's throne formation, showcasing how China's nouveau rich blend traditional elements with Western luxury. Imagine a private Boeing 747 with a Javanese temple interior featuring smuggled Buddhas and koi worth $250,000. This isn't mere excess, it's calculated power display. When Colette and friends shop in Paris, they decimate boutiques, with one friend buying an entire wall of handbags. Transportation becomes another wealth showcase. Carlton imports exotic cars to China, driving a multi-million-dollar McLaren F1 through Shanghai. Michael Tao drives an $8.9 million Ferrari, deliberately circling blocks before restaurant arrivals for maximum visibility. When Richie challenges Carlton to a street race, $10 million stakes barely register to either man. Art collecting transforms into a status battlefield. The novel opens with bidding for ancient Chinese scrolls reaching idiot territory at $195 million. Kitty purchases the Palace of 18 Perfections for nearly $200 million, not for artistic appreciation, but to elevate her social standing. Even food becomes a luxury commodity, with bird's nest soup costing at least $10,000 per bowl. Beneath the glittering surface lies a world where family interests trump individual happiness. The novel's central poisoning plot, Rachel targeted with a rare toxin, shows how far some will go to protect family fortunes. Roxanne Ma explains she acted to prevent Rachel from threatening Carlton's inheritance. "I overheard Bao Gao Yang threaten to disinherit Carlton." This theme pervades the story. Jack Bing pressures his daughter Colette to marry Richie Yang, stating bluntly, "I need grandsons. I need to know that my legacy will continue." When she refuses, he freezes her accounts as punishment. Similarly, Bernard Tai's father restricted his access to family money after he eloped. Wealth corrupts moral boundaries. When Carlton caused a fatal car accident, his mother orchestrated a cover-up, paying millions to conceal a Chinese girl's death, an incident that haunts Carlton and fuels his self-destruction. Perhaps most poignantly, Michael Tao transforms from humble husband to status-obsessed tyrant after learning his success was secretly engineered by his wife's family. As Rachel navigates her Chinese heritage, she embodies the cultural dissonance many diaspora Asians experience. Described as a total banana, yellow outside, white inside, her journey through China becomes a crash course in unfamiliar cultural codes, from luxury shopping norms where buying entire collections is standard. Yet Rachel's outsider perspective gives her clarity when confronting entitlement. In their viral Waldorf Astoria confrontation, she delivers a pointed critique of Colette's behavior that resonates with millions of Chinese viewers by articulating universal values of basic human decency and respect. The novel illustrates how globalization has transformed Asian societies. The Fu or Dai, rich second generation, moves seamlessly between global cities, creating a transnational elite culture that speaks multiple languages and adopts cosmopolitan lifestyles while maintaining Chinese approaches to family and hierarchy. This hybridity extends to physical spaces. Colette's retreat blends feng shui with Western luxury, while the Bing family's jet features Indonesian aesthetics alongside cutting-edge technology. In this world, marriage functions primarily as a strategic alliance between powerful families. When Colette protests her arranged engagement to Richie Yang, her father explains, "The Yangs are one of the wealthiest families in China. Do you know how much more powerful our two families would be together?" Eleanor Young only supports Nick and Rachel's relationship after discovering Rachel's connection to the wealthy Bao family. Financial considerations trump personal compatibility. Even Astrid's marriage to Michael crumbles under financial power dynamics. When Michael learns his business success was engineered by Charlie Wu, his identity collapses. "It's all been handed to you," Astrid's father tells him, invalidating his work. The novel's optimism emerges through Rachel and Nick's relationship, formed without knowledge of Rachel's wealth. Their genuine affection, shown when Nick supports Rachel through her poisoning and when Rachel takes his last name because Rachel Young is the only name that's truly hers, counters the strategic alliances surrounding them. Despite its portrayal of luxury, the novel explores authenticity amid carefully constructed facades. Rachel maintains her groundedness despite sudden wealth. When Carlton takes her to a hole-in-the-wall restaurant with no menus, she delights in this genuine cultural connection, a stark contrast to the manufactured experiences dominating the social landscape. Astrid and Charlie Wu's relationship offers another glimpse of authentic connection. Their bond remains genuine, based on shared memories rather than social calculation. When Astrid recognizes Charlie has kept his promise from Paris, she chooses this authentic love over her toxic marriage. Kitty Pong's social rehabilitation critiques authenticity, as Karima's instructions create a manufactured persona for acceptance by Hong Kong's elite, highlighting how belonging depends on conformity rather than authentic self-expression. In a world where everything seems purchasable, from art to relationships to social standing, genuine connection becomes rare and valuable. As Rachel reflects while taking Nick's last name, identity and belonging cannot be bought, but must be freely chosen and given.